Okay, I think we definitely need to give Jack and Mia a round of applause for that incredible Bible reading. Really good. I was concerned that I might have ruined your half term by getting in touch with you to tell you, I would like you to do a reading in church, but you were very willing participants, as was everyone who's been involved in our worship this morning. Really appreciate the way in which, as I got in touch with people this week, the answer was yes, and I know that's not always the case, but I really appreciate your involvement this morning. We're going to see how clever you are. Do you think you're clever? We're going to see how clever you are as we think about inventions. I wonder, can you tell me the names of, or the name of the person or the company who invented these things? First of all, we've got a light bulb. Oh, there's a hand over here, yeah? Thomas Edison, good man. The light bulb inventor is Thomas Edison. Okay, the next one's maybe a little bit more tricky, and there's a bit of debate about this, but this is a motor vehicle. Any grown-ups? Who was it? Who said Nicholas, the Englishman? Nick? Carl Benz, correct. Give him a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Carl Benz. Some people think it was Henry Ford, but he was a little bit later. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. My internet research didn't let me down this week. This one's probably easier, young people. Who are we going to go for with the iPhone? There's a hand at the back. Yeah. Apple. Anybody know the name of the guy? Steve Jobs, yeah, brilliant. Big round of applause. Woo! This one is a lot easier. A lot easier because the answer is actually on screen. I don't have a name of a person, but I have a name of a company who invented the switch. Jake Preston's hand was really fast there. Yeah. Nintendo, yeah, Nintendo Switch. This one will definitely split the congregation in terms of age. There may be a generation who know who is behind the... Oh, yes. Theo. KSI and Logan Paul. Yeah, brilliant. Good man. This one. Ooh. Oh, I heard it from a grown-up. Who?
Alexander Bell.
Do you know his middle name? Yeah, Alexander Graham Bell. Very good. Okay, see, these are inventors or people who are associated with making stuff, with creating things. Their names are attached to the thing that they made. And if you're going to make something, if you're going to create something, then you need to have what it takes to make it. Occasionally, very occasionally, in our house, an unnamed person would be making something and discover that in the cupboard, we do not have the resources for said thing. Fortunately, there is a garage not that far away, and I am a willing driver to the garage to pick up whatever it is that needs. If you're going to make something, you need to have what it takes to make it. And in the Bible passage that was read this morning, there was something about creation. Create in me what? What was read out this morning? Create in me a clean heart. Good man. Good man. The Bible says it's a prayer. And David says, create in me a clean heart. But before he even gets to that bit, there's a couple of words that he uses to describe the condition or the state of his own heart. He talks about the mess that his own life is in. And he realizes that he doesn't have within himself the materials to create a clean heart. If you're going to draw an animated character, then you're going to need a pencil. If you're going to make a telephone work, then you're going to need the resources to create a telephone. If you're going to assemble an airplane or a motor car, you're going to need the ingredients to make it work. You need some kind of intelligence or ability in order to do it. If you're going to make it, you need to have what it takes. Maybe you've had to help with IKEA furniture in your house or baking a cake. And in order to do a good job, you need to have what it takes to make it. And in Psalm 51, David uses some big words to describe the fact that he doesn't have what it takes. He's been caught doing something wrong. He took something that wasn't his. You've been thinking about this, haven't you, in Sunday Club? Yes? Yes, you have. You've been thinking about this in Sunday Club. And he goes to God to ask for forgiveness. And here's some of the words that he describes how he has acted or what he's done. The first word, big word, is transgression. He uses the word transgression, which is not a word that we would maybe use that often. And he says, blot out my transgressions. Here's how I want you to understand this word transgression. You ever see a sign like this? Keep off the grass. Or maybe a sign that says no parking. Somebody parked in it. A transgression is if you step over the line. Or someone says, don't go in there. Don't park there. Don't step on the grass. And you do it. That's when you sin. You step over the line. Here's another word that we don't really use that often. Iniquity. And that word is a bit more complicated to understand, but it's kind of like impurity. If something's not clean, what do you get in your, tell me some of the things you get in your lunchbox. Anybody get a ham sandwich or a cheese sandwich in your lunchbox? Yeah. What else do you get? Do you get a treat? You allow a treat in your lunchbox? Or is it healthy? Yeah. What do you get in your lunchbox? Crisps, what flavour? Salt and vinegar. Good man, I love salt and vinegar crisps too. Anybody get a biscuit you allowed a biscuit in your lunchbox? Yeah? What kind of biscuit would you get in your lunchbox, anybody? Yeah, hand at the back, yep. Oreo, yeah, I love an Oreo biscuit. See, when I was a wee boy and I got my lunch pack, it was a sandwich of some kind, maybe a packet of crisps and maybe some kind of fruit, an apple or something like that. And then the dreaded ingredient or the dreaded thing to accompany your lunch, the dreaded biscuit, was a Viscount. Do you know why? Why is a Viscount a bad idea in the lunchbox? Because it smells of mint, and even your ham sandwiches taste of mint. It contaminates everything. And the word iniquity is kind of like a Viscount. It means everything in your life is tainted by, not mint, but by sin, by impurity. So we've got transgression when you step over the boundary. We've got iniquity, it's kind of like pollution. And then we've got this other word, sin, that you and I are maybe a bit more familiar with. And as Caleb McFadden's here, he's paying attention, good man. Caleb jumped 1.95 meters a couple of weeks ago. He's Northern Ireland's greatest high jumper. Woo! But I can't jump 1.95, and neither can you. And the Bible says that God has a high standard, a high target of perfection, and we all fall short of it. And sin is saying that we fall, that we don't meet the target or the standard that God has required of us. And David knows that he has transgressed. He stepped over a boundary. He knows that he's full of iniquity. He's full of impurity. He knows that he hasn't met the target that God has for him. And so he goes to God because he recognizes he doesn't have the resources in his own life. He doesn't have what it takes to create a pure heart. He says to God, create in me a clean heart, O God. Now, maybe if you needed help in your house and you needed lights fitted, you would get an electrician like John McCauley to come and sort your lights out, because he knows how to do those kind of things. Maybe if you wanted to build the best castle ever on Minecraft, who would you go to? Would there be a YouTube video you'd find to help you do that? Or who would you go to if you wanted to find Phil Howe? Who would help you build a Minecraft castle? Yeah? YouTube would help you. What if you wanted to draw the best picture ever? Would you find someone who would help you draw the best picture ever? Any artistic people in church this morning? Eve, right, okay. We'll go to Eve, right? If you wanted to create a new song or you wanted to write music, you'd maybe go to someone. And David turns to God in prayer when asking for a clean heart, because God is the only one who has a pure heart, who is completely clean and good. This is what the Bible says about Jesus. He committed no sin, and no deceit is found in his mouth. If I was to ask this morning for you to say, okay, can somebody stand up if they've never committed a sin? Everybody stand up who hasn't told a lie. We'd all have to stay in our seats. And right throughout history, no matter who it is that we're thinking about, they would all have to sit down. This church is 26, 27 years old. I'm not sure how long, but right throughout the history of this church, there is no one who could stand up because we have all sinned. And right throughout church history, stretching right back, right throughout human history, there is nobody who has been perfect apart from Jesus. And if you're going to make it, you need to have what it takes. And David says to God, create in me a clean heart, O God. The good news that we find in the Bible is not just that God rubs out our mistakes. Do you ever make a mistake in your homework and have to rub it out? God doesn't just rub out the mistakes and leave you with a blank page. He writes a new story. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're very aware of the things that need to be rubbed out in your life. You think, well, I've done wrong and it needs to be rubbed out. But he doesn't just want to leave a blank page. He wants to write a new story. He wants to create in you a clean heart. That's the amazing thing that we are encouraged about and we want for everyone in this community and in this church, that you would pray this prayer in the week ahead. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If you're going to make it, you need to have what it takes. And only Jesus has what it takes to give you the heart that you need. Maybe, like David prayed this prayer, maybe you could pray that prayer at the breakfast table as a family. Maybe you could pray it in the car on the way to school. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. Maybe there are times when you are jealous of your friends or angry with your brothers. You think nasty thoughts about your sister or your parents or something like that, and you realize that your life is not what it should be. Maybe you feel guilty for stealing or telling lies or hurting other people with your actions. You can pray this prayer. And when you ask, he cares. And when you seek, he's there. And when you knock, 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 God opens up the door. And if you read your Bible, this is what it says to me. He will create in you a clean heart. Come to him in prayer. At the cross, Jesus was punished for your sin and mine. And he wants to create in each of us a clean heart. A heart that welcomes people instead of shutting them out. A heart that's open to the Bible instead of closed off to his word. A heart that speaks only good words instead of bad words. God wants to write a new story in your life. Can you take time this week, maybe on a daily basis, to pray those words? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Pray it at bedtime. Pray it in the morning. Pray it on the way to school. Pray it on the way from school. Pray it regularly. And ask the people around you in your family to pray it with you. Because guess what? The grown-ups need to pray it too. Let's take a moment to pray, and then we're going to sing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that even though we don't have what it takes, even though we've fallen short, even though we've stepped over the boundary, even though our lives are contaminated and impure because of sin, Jesus wants to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Every single one of us needs Jesus. So every single one of us turns to you this morning and prays this prayer. Create in us, Lord God, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. In Jesus' name. Amen.